You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday afternoon and another big show. Jay, when was the last time you went to a smoking crazy party?
You know, I don't know what to say, Steve. You know, every time you think you've heard it all or seen it all, something else comes along, and here we are again. And I just don't know what to say.
Well, you heard this when? How many hours ago?
A couple hours ago.
Okay, so you're saying what? So go ahead and tell
okay,
the people.
Okay, if you haven't seen it, there's a report, and nobody's making this up. ABC News is reporting this in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which
the headquarters,
that place exists because of college football,
the
right?
The headquarters of college football,
right? The capital of college football. Students at the University of Alabama, I shouldn't say University of Alabama, just students in Alabama are throwing what they're calling COVID parties. And what they're doing is they're inviting students who they know have COVID and inviting students who don't have COVID. The students who don't have COVID are throwing money into a pot, and the first one of them that gets COVID wins the money.
I don't want to win that lottery.
I'm like, I had to read that like six times to try and make sure I'm not getting this wrong.
Well, you told me I read it, I'm thinking, how crazy is this?
I mean, look, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and I did some crazy stuff.
Yesterday, you did some crazy stuff.
There's a lot of stuff that I can't tell my kids, and that I don't tell my kids. Some of it's starting to leak out. But oh my God. You know,
no, this is one of the crazier things you'll ever hear.
And again, there's a lot of things that come into play here. One, you know, how some of the leadership in this country hasn't taken this seriously enough that everybody believes that this is a problem.
Sure.
Two, you've got these students who just don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Or think they're immune to it.
Right. And then, the third thing being that they just... The whole attitude of being, you know, indestructible, mm-hmm. you know, and we all thought that
you already
to
think
a
that.
Level.
Yeah, you already think that because you're young and
right.
stupid.
Look, I knew there was a line out there I shouldn't cross.
right. Well, you know why? You'd get that dad look. You'd
right.
get your dad's look.
Right. And I towed that line, maybe even crossed it a couple of times and got lucky.
Yeah.
But oh my God, you know, and especially when we just, I'm not sure, but I'm guessing none of these students read what the mayor said last week or 2 weeks ago when he said $1.2 billion worth of Tuscaloosa's economy is based on Alabama football.
Right.
These people are students. I'm guessing they're students at the University of Alabama. It just says students, so I don't know if they're...
Or going to be students,
right? Or if they're high school kids or what. And they're doing this.
Tom, did you want to say something?
I do. Number one, to Jay's point, they don't care about the money. They could care less.
Right.
But number two, this is not the first time this has happened or been reported in the news, guys.
Where was this?
Months ago, when things started happening in February and March and April, there were COVID parties happening in the major cities, and people were getting infected, and some people were being hospitalized. And this has been reported on before. This just happens to be Tuscaloosa this time, but I'll just go ahead and call them idiot kids. Have been doing this for months.
Damn kids, we could have saved the world had it not been for those.
Yeah, I don't
kids.
Know
well,
about that.
Well, you know.
All right, Scooby, relax.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
Good catch.
Well, you know, I just saw this, and Damian Alameda, our friend at Channel 13, posted a photo of a sign at an antique store in Phoenix that at the entrance it says, "If you choose not to wear a mask, we respectfully ask that you postpone your visit. We'll be happy to debate the efficacy of masks with you when this is all over and you come in to sell your dead grandmother's clothes." That is so perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the seriousness of this. And it's not, again, those kids aren't going to die of COVID, but they're going to go give it to somebody else who might.
Right.
And that just drives me nuts. And yeah, Tom, I had heard that, you know, this happened a couple of times early on.
Mm-hmm.
It'd been a long time since I heard about it. But the reason it strikes me is that it's in a place that their livelihoods of the entire community rely on Alabama football. And they're just spitting in the face of it, literally.
Literally, yeah. That's literally. Pretty much it.
It does kill people in their 20s, though.
Yeah, it's, you're showing that, yeah.
Okay, it doesn't kill as many in their 20s as it does, you know. But one of those kids goes and gets it, and who knows if he's been around his grandmother.
Give it time. Give it time.
I'm just, yeah. You know, I'm just losing my mind here over this.
Well, it's a reason why we're not going to get through this. Or it's going to take long to get through this.
Well, again, it gets back to the conversation that we had here. How are you going to control the students on campus? You know, if you bring them back to campus.
Right.
And you even talked to Jim Monaco briefly about it. And, you know, I don't know if we could talk to an Arizona football coach. How are you going to completely control your players?
Right.
You're going to give them the protocols and tell them, don't do this and only do this. And how many of them are really going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, gosh, you know, let's go back years and talk about how players, you know, go party after games. And, you know, we had one player shooting up a skating rink.
Well, let's talk about this. In Orlando, there's already some thought that when these guys get there and they're in their bubble, that bubble could be burst every now and again from players.
Well, somebody said exactly that it's not really a bubble,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, housekeepers and support staff who are going to be supporting that aren't staying in the bubble. They get to go home.
Right.
How the heck are you going to control where they're going?
And did you guys see the MLS bubble has already been burst?
What happened?
MLS is doing their return to play tournament, or was, in Orlando. And it was either yesterday or today. Six players on the Dallas team. When they left Dallas, nobody had it. When they landed in Orlando, two guys had it. And then the next day, four more guys had it. So the Dallas team now has a COVID outbreak, and they're already in the bubble. In Orlando for MLS.
We're doomed. It was nice knowing you guys. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Oh, God. You know, this is so hard.
Hey, bad credit doesn't seem so bad now.
Bad credit, good credit, nobody's immune.
Nobody's immune to anything.
Man, I don't know. I'm just, I just want people out there to just use common sense.
Well, that's...
And we know there's people who don't, and they're just not going
Well, look, at we have to July 27th. Let's just give it that date. 28th. We're 3.5 weeks away.
Well, and Steve, remember, I mean, and I think you brought it up to Dustin Peace yesterday. Back when all this started in March and, mm-hmm. and the spring sports all got canceled, he said, well, we got plenty of time to figure this out before the fall sports. No, we're running out of time. We're almost out of time. You know, we had, you know, Rick Pitino, the head coach at Iona now, he's been at Louisville and Kentucky, you know, came out today and said, just push the college basketball season start to January and just play the conference games.
And guess what?
I think that's a more likely scenario than games starting in November.
And football possibly being pushed to the same direction,
right.
But only playing a few games.
Right.
Because the Ivy League, we talked about this, going to April, May,
yeah.
to June, and playing a truncated schedule, maybe right. 8 weeks. And guess what? That may be the only way to go.
Well, they may just need the time. You know, mm-hmm. and Arizona's, you know, got its three conference games are in the first few weeks of non-conference games in the first few weeks of the season. I don't know how they would even consider playing those.
Right.
Because those games cost Arizona money anyways.
No question. Plus, you talked to me right before we started the show. The NFL is killing two of them.
Right. They've killed two preseason games. They're down to two preseason games.
Games are dwindling. Your hope for any kind of watching is diminishing. Hey, let's take a quick break. Come back with Javier Morales of All Sports Tucson. Talk about the local scene here on 1030 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here with Jay Gonzalez. I'm Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, we have Javier Morales for All Sports Tucson, the busiest journalist in town.
He could be.
How you doing, Javier?
Good. How you guys doing?
Fine, thank you. Hey, you've been busy on a number of different levels. Yesterday, you broke the story about the youth football program with Julius Holt not continuing this season. Just your thoughts, your initial thoughts when you got the news.
I know it. Like all of us, we probably weren't surprised by it because of the way the situation is right now with the numbers in Arizona. You know, Arizona is one of the hot states with the COVID numbers, and you know, practices were supposed to start in August for games in September, but there's a lot of indecision among the associations. Five of the teams that had already canceled their season, that left nine teams. One of them is going to play in Phoenix, the Phoenix area schools. So nine teams competing, and then if there's a kid that is diagnosed with COVID-19, the whole team has to sit out for 2 to 3 weeks. So that cuts into the eight-game schedule. It just didn't come – it wasn't feasible to still have the season as it is right now. The officials decided, let's just see how this goes, you know, plan for 2021, and, you know, hopefully by then things will go back to normal. And that was the smart way to do it. A lot of the local high school coaches, I heard your interview with Dustin Peace yesterday, they're all in favor of it because of the age of these kids and who they live with at home.
Right. And they just shouldn't, you know, I mean, they're kids. The risk versus the reward, you know, at that level is just, it's not even close. I mean, just don't do it. When you talk to Julius, I mean, where is he at on these, particularly the one team, and I believe it's the Cowboys, right? They're talking about going to play up in Phoenix.
It's actually the Tucson Scorpions.
It was the Cowboys. Okay.
Yeah, and then the Sierra Vista team that was just going to join TYFSF for the first time this year is actually going to join the AYF in Phoenix because, you know, it's interesting. Phoenix and Tucson have two different mentalities about how to handle this situation, and up there it's wide open, without face masks and just totally two different mindsets. And I think the Scorpions and I think they're the Wolverines in Sierra Vista, they're thinking more about having their kids play than the safety requirements that we should all be following. That's my personal opinion.
Well, what's the indication that Phoenix is even going to have their schedule or their season?
Well, as of yesterday, they were still they welcomed in the Sierra Vista team yesterday, so they're still thinking they're going to have their season. So they're not, the AYF up there is not right now planning on canceling their season. They're in the wait and see mode, but they're still teams working out. And still planning for this upcoming season.
And they've got to have thousands and thousands of kids up there, you know, much, you know, a lot more than that are playing down here, right?
There's thousands more. And the scary thing is, and in talking to some of the officials around here, some of the TYF people, is that some of these workouts that are going on, if there's a kid who comes down with COVID-19, it has to be, you know, reported to family members, and there should be a stoppage of, you know, workouts, but that's not happening. And the odds are that there is going to be kids that are come down with it, and it seems like to them that there's still people working out despite that. And that is when you cross the line, and it becomes like a moral issue.
It's just, yeah. I mean, again, as we were saying it, the reward for these kids playing is not high enough for, you know, I just don't want, you know, 8-year-old Johnny to have a football season when he's living with his, you know, 72-year-old grandmother and who, you know, who knows what's going to happen there.
Right. I mean, I know from firsthand experience teaching in the Sunnyside School District, some of the kids I have, I interact as much with their grandparents as their parents, and that's telling the truth. A lot of these kids, they go home to their grandparents either because their parents are working for whatever reason, and that's the case with a lot of people, a lot of kids in Tucson. They're around older people when they're at home, and that's the dangerous thing about you know, having these kids in massive workouts and then coming home to that. You know, it really makes you nervous about how things will spread and the numbers will continue to climb instead of us trying to, you know, reduce the numbers.
You have been working on a story with the Pima situation with their league and all that. We had Monaco on a Tuesday or whatever, a day or two later, this all breaks. What's the status of it right now? Because it's kind of, you know, it's all fluid, but it's crazy.
Well, they just came out, the Maricopa Community College District just came out today. They're going to have two public forums on the 8th and 9th, you know, in a week, for about an hour, where people can go online and try to get in there and say their piece. It's going to be virtual. So whoever says anything will have 3 minutes, and they're going to go from there. The presidents of each of those 10 colleges up there, though, recommended that athletics get canceled. So now it's up to the interim chancellor to make the final call, and he's calling this public forum just to have, you know, let the people speak. But you know, when it comes down to it, he's going to have to answer those presidents, and it doesn't look good from what I understand.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that he's going to go against what all, you know, what the 10 presidents unanimously said, and I think you're right. I think this is just so that he can make his call and say, I listened to everything, and this is what we're doing. Even if every single person that goes into that forum says, don't cancel them, I just have a hard time thinking that he's going to just completely reject what all the presidents have suggested. But, well, let me ask you this, because one of the things, I think this might have been in, I don't know if it was in your story or in another story I wrote, but that this sort of began even before this, that the presidents kind of really think sports are a pain in the, you know what, a pain in the pocketbook, I guess. And that, so it wasn't going to take a lot for them to figure out a way to get rid of sports. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah, we saw that 2 years ago with football. The Maricopa Community Colleges all dropped football, and one of the Mesa administrators, he's no longer there, was on record saying that there's no redeeming value of athletics when you compare the cost to what to other costs of you know, colleges.
Where did he go? I hate those people who come in, do the whirlwind, you know, earthquake type of thing, right, and then just leave.
Shake it up and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went to NAU. He's now part of NAU's.
Oh, good luck to those lumberjacks. Good luck to those lumberjacks. So that's what he did. He came in, started up, and then left. So now there's no football, right, and there's now probably going to be no sports at all in this league.
In this year, yeah, it looks that way. And the scary thing from a Tucson perspective is Pima College. They dropped football, as a few other schools, all the other schools in Arizona did after what happened at Maricopa. And their chancellor is, you know, not a pro athletic guy. So this is scary. If they cancel it, then who knows how it's going to affect his thought process,
you know, right,
of like saving money and cutting costs and so forth. So there's a lot of people on pins and needles over at Pima right now.
Right. And just a simple thing of who's left to play. Right. I mean, what would it be, like six colleges, junior colleges in Arizona that would be left with sports?
Yeah. Yeah, they're Eastern Central, Yavapai, Cochise,
and Pima.
Yeah, so I think I'm missing one, but yeah, Eastern Arizona. There's six teams or six schools, so they would have to play probably an abundance of games against each other, because there's not going to be much traveling out of the state for a lot of these types of junior colleges with what's going on. So yeah, that's another issue right there, is the amount of games that they'll play. But again, with COVID-19, I don't think a lot of these schools are going to want to play a lot of games. So
right,
they just want their students to have the chance to compete and train and, you know, be as close to normal as possible.
So in thinking about the announcement of youth football, I just kind of feel like the way that's going, things are going to kind of percolate up like that. And I think now high school sports and all the sports are in a little bit of danger of maybe not having any high school sports. I mean, do you see, are the high schools listening to what's going on kind of at the lower levels? Where are they getting their information from, and who are they listening to?
They have to listen to their district to what they can allow them to do on campus. I just talked to Al Alexander, who's the linebacker coach at Cienega. I used to coach at South Point. And he mentioned that they're still planning to have practice on Monday. That's when they start, and they're in Vail, the Vail School District. So he hasn't heard anything to the contrary. He said something might pop up between now and Monday, but right now they're planning on starting their practice on Monday.
You heard Dustin yesterday. They don't know when they're going to start, given that's 2 weeks delayed, and they have no direction or haven't heard. Unless I misunderstood.
No, he's right. They don't know because the NFI school district, they have to okay it. It's not up to the AIA. It's up to the school districts. The AIA basically just gives them recommendations of what guidelines to follow for, the CDC guidelines and so forth. But it's up to the school districts to open things up. And he's totally right. Right now, AMFI is not allowing that. Neither is TUSD or Sunnyside School District. Vail apparently is right now because what Coach Alexander told me. But, Marana, for what I know right now, they're still possibly opening their practice soon. It's all depending on the school districts.
So that could be, say it's an unfair advantage, but some people yes, yeah. And some people no. Not that that's a big deal. Could be a big deal. Well, I don't know.
And that was one of the things that the colleges were concerned about. If, this conference does this and that conference does that, who's getting a competitive advantage? And I think basically people are pointing at the SEC and saying the SEC is just going to go forward and do what they do.
When you can have coronaviruses in the SEC.
Yeah. Have you been to a coronavirus party? A COVID party?
I have not, and I will not.
No matter how much money you win. Hey, we're going to take
a... You pay me, yeah.
Yeah, hey, we're going to try to take a break. Let's come back with you, Hoff. I want to talk to you real quick about that series you're running with the good people in town and just how you're coming about finding them. Is that cool?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's a great series you have going on here on... Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
I need some more music there. Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone we have All Sports Tucson's Javier Morales, one of the busiest guys in town. So we've talked about youth sports, high school sports. Let's talk about the series that you've been doing for about, 6 weeks or so, maybe 2 months, the Tucson Treasures. You must be having fun writing those.
Yeah, it's because it's all about people... doing positive things in the community, which, sometimes it could be overlooked because we always want to read about the shocking story or along those lines, but it's always good to have a feel good story with people that are so involved with kids, and bringing out the positive aspects of what all of us like about living in Tucson. You got Bill Leith, who's the Keno Baseball League president. Steve, who he is and
sure.
All the things he does for baseball. Youth baseball in Tucson would not be the same without him. You can go down the line. I wrote about Joan Bonassini, the former U of A women's basketball coach, just how she's impacted with the Boys and Girls Club of Tucson. And, she recruited Adia Barnes, D.D. Wheeler, players like that who are impacting the community now to a high degree. So it's just about how these people have been so instrumental helping young people become better, which, you know, all of us know if that's the case, it's going to make our community better in the long run. That's what it's trying to accentuate.
What I like about the series, Hav, is that it's, you know, it's about, and you see all these things that these people have been doing, but you really didn't know who had been doing those things. The people who are just kind of behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. They're not asking for attention. They're not getting attention. I mean, yeah, everybody knows Corey Williams. Everybody knows Jay Dobbins, but you don't realize the things that they're doing. But then some of these other people that, you know, they're responsible for events and they're responsible for, you know, like you said, you know, Bill Ethan and youth baseball. And you realize there's a person back there who's doing that stuff. And that, you know, that's what's been fascinating about the series. So because there are people, you know, who are just doing things out there because they love doing them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, nobody probably knows who Kirby Bolnow is. He's one of the longest standing high school football referees in Tucson, but he's also done a lot of TYFSF games over the years, and he volunteers his time on Saturdays. You know, they don't get paid much to begin with, but everything he earns from a Saturday, he works like four or five games during that day. He gives back to the TYFSF for, you know, any kind of needs they have for kids, for equipment or what have you. He doesn't pocket any of the money. So he's basically just volunteering his time and refereeing these games when he doesn't have to. That's basically what, you know, is the underlying theme of these, that these people don't have to be doing what they're doing. They want to do it. And then it's really, you know, the heartbeat of Tucson,
right,
so to speak, the way they're doing all these things for the greater good of these young people, young athletes.
Are you, I'm sure you're finding them pretty easy to find. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you have to look a little bit.
Like, yeah. Right.
Richard Acevedo, the one I just did, he's his brother Michael, a lot of people in Tucson know him. He passed away about 5 years ago after complications of a heart attack. But he was a longtime coach in Tucson area. And the reason why Richard is in the series is because he's continuing his brother's name with charity events for high school sports equipment, for people who have health problems. You know, he's continuing that theme that in his brother's name, again, for high school, mostly high school sports athletes. So you have to look, search and look a little bit behind the scenes, like Jay said, but there's a lot of people out there and there's a lot of people that could be written about.
They're all over the place, and you know, especially in a community like Tucson, where, you know, you just have to have that to be able to do these kinds of things. You know, I think about, you know, all the Little League umpires out there. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday, or you know the coaches, all the, you know, the coaches who don't get paid, or you know, guys who referee City League basketball for $10 or $20 a game, or right, whatever that might be. And without those things, you know, you know you wouldn't have fun. I came out of retirement and started playing slow pitch softball again with my son, you know, a couple of seasons ago. And you know, the umpires that are working the games out at Sports Park, they're kind of the same as they were before. You know, they're just out there doing it, trying to make a buck. But you know, the money they're making isn't equal with the effort that they're having to put out. Plus, and if they weren't there, we wouldn't be playing.
Plus, they have people yelling at them like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to deal with that.
You do. And
then just think of all the people that are at different high schools that help out with all the different high school teams. You know, I did one on Don Bacon, who's he's legendary Tucson High baseball player. You know, he's been at Saguaro the last a few years, basically just volunteering his time helping to maintain the softball field at Saguaro. He's in his 70s, and he does not have to be out there like mowing the lawn in front of Saguaro High School.
Hey now, Jets, you're teasing Jay. Jay's getting close to that.
Hey, I still cut my grass sometimes.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I did.
Do it like a whole high school.
Yeah. I did hire my nephew as a yard boy, but
smart man, smart man. Hey, you did a story today on Mark Neal. Did you know him, or had you spoken to him?
I knew him from South Point, from seeing him on the sidelines. It was just basically like, hi, how are you type relationship, from seeing him on the sidelines. I didn't know him personally. But I've talked to a couple people about him, and he was really important to that program, for what he meant to the kids and the other coaches, on how they call him the governor because the way he spoke. Al Alexander told me he was like a preacher to the kids. So like Dennis Binet would talk to them about assignments and be like, hey, Coach Neal, come and talk to the group. So he would stand in front of the group and just talk them about, you know, the right way to behave and act like good, you know, young men. And he was just like a spiritual force that uplifted those kids, like a motivator. I did not realize that he played at the U of A from 1970 to 73. And he was actually a really good player. He was a wide receiver. He played alongside Pete Bell. He had a great year as a senior. So his name has been around for a while. I didn't know all of his background, but I knew of him and I knew how important he was to South Point.
Speaking of the preacher, the type, we had Ernie McCray Monday, I think it was, and you know Ernie, obviously. Done a few things on him as well. To me, he's that guy, that great voice, that soothsayer, very intelligent, could speak for days on a number of different topics. I think, Jay, you came away with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was just, you know, it was fascinating to talk to him. B, it was fascinating that he could still bring, you know, everything from, you know, his days as a kid and speak to the you know, tie that to issues of today. You know, I got home and my wife who did a story on him a long time ago for a magazine, you know, she loves him.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had a good conversation about him and how much, you know, how he's just, you're right, he's just one of those people who's out there and just has always done good things and just never called attention to himself for this. Although I loved when he said he thought he deserved to be in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
I thought that was so cool. And a couple of people that I talked to or exchanged text messages with who'd listened to the show said that they thought that was the coolest thing because he is such a humble guy. He really did say, you know what, I did deserve this.
Yeah.
And to be able to say that, and who could argue with the guy?
Yeah, he just turned, I think, 82
or 83.
Yeah. 83, I think. And he posted a video of him dancing on his birthday, you know, on Facebook. So he's very lighthearted, and he has, like you see, his voice is amazing. He has a radio voice.
I turned 56. And I took a picture of me taking a nap.
but he's been through a lot.
He's been through a tremendous amount,
and he still has such a great attitude about life.
No question. In fact, we all know him. I know Hav does, and we've spoken to him a few times. But what about you? Once that story was come and gone, now you're talking about Al Fleming maybe deserving to be in there.
Yeah, and I'm sure Jay remembers.
Oh, yeah.
Him and yeah. I mean, think of that first recruiting class of Fresno. You had Eric Money, Neil Norman, Al Fleming, John Irving, who transferred after a year, but then he went to Hofstra and left.
Jim Rappas.
And rebounded. Jim Rappas.
All those guys.
That was amazing. That was, you could stack that up against any recruiting class that Lute or Sean put together.
I used to ride the number 8 Broadway bus to go watch those guys play back, you know, when I was
just a lot of fun. That must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a blast.
Yeah.
And those guys were great and they could play.
Yeah. I think that era gets lost.
It totally gets lost.
Yeah. The thing about Al Fleming, and he and Bob Alley, the only two players in Arizona history have at least 1,000 points and 1,000 rebounds in their career. And the criteria for the Ring of Honor is you have to be a player of the year in a conference or a freshman of the year. They didn't have those awards in the WAC at that time. They didn't happen until like 5 or 6 years after Fleming left. So he never had a shot at that. And then it's if you hold a major statistical record for at least 5 years, I think three of them, he has held three for at least 5 years. He's been the rebounding leader for 45 years now.
Let's say 100 years.
So how would Ertie get in? Not that I didn't pay attention. How did he get in?
I think because of his scoring record, and he's the first African American to graduate.
Yeah,
African American basketball player.
Yeah, we talked about that.
I think they're going to make modifications where there's like highly unique accomplishments like that.
They have to do that.
Yeah.
They have to do that. They have to be able to make room for things like that, because, you know, in my mind, you know, Ernie McRae belonged, and with all due respect to both of these guys, Ernie McRae belonged up there long before either Jared Bayless or Jason Gardner.
I don't disagree with one of those. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look at the one and done.
Jason Gardner's in there because he was the freshman of the year.
We don't even know. No disrespect to Stanley Johnson and those guys. We don't know who they are.
Right. What's Stanley Johnson doing up there? Fernie McRae and Al Fleming or not?
That's a far side. And Bob Elliott's numbers should be up there, too. Granted, he was a National Player of the Year, which is a criteria for their number to be recognized. But how is he going to be the Player of the Year coming out of the WAC?
Yeah.
A National Player of the Year. That's not fair. You have to look at unique accomplishments. And he's only one of like 115 players in history that has had at least 2,000 points and 1,000 rebounds in a career. Only 115 in the whole history of college basketball. So, I mean, that alone should have his number up there.
All right, man, let's get him in there. He was one of my favorites because, he was one of those guys who just went out and played.
Yeah.
And I remember that.
Those were the good old days.
He didn't say a lot. He went out and played. You know, Eric Money and Coneil Norman was kind of a quiet guy too, but, you know, Herman Harris from back in that day and Eric Money, you know, they were kind of a, you know, brasher kind of guys, but they were darn good. But, you know, Al Fleming, you hardly noticed him until you saw that 20, he had, you know, 20 some rebounds and, you know, 15 points or whatever. And he, you know, he shot like 70-something% 1 year, you know? So, Yeah,
they had a lot of rebounds, Elliott and Fleming, because they played with Stone's running gut system where they just threw up shots.
Everybody threw up shots in the WAC at that time.
Yeah,
I was looking at Eric Money and Coneil Norman's field goal attempts their freshman year. They combined to attempt about 900 shots. that would not happen in this era, but.
No.
Give credit to Stone because that style works.
It still does. I ask Sean that all the time, and he gives me the same answer. Hey, Javier, thanks for joining us. It's a lot of fun.
All right. Yeah, thank you, guys.
It was fun, Javi. And keep up the good work with the high schools and the youth
football.
Get
some sleep, too. You need to sleep every now and again.
Yeah, you need to take a break now and again as well. But good stuff. Always good stuff.
All right, thanks. That was Javier Morales of All Sports Tucson. Be sure to go visit the site for his good stuff almost every day, if not every day.
Every day. So let's
take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice Talk. We're going to go back to this the people who don't get enough respect in the earlier days here on 10:30 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10 Through the Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. Good interview with Hav.
Yeah, you know, Hav is, you know, it warms my heart because I knew Hav when, right? He was a high school kid coming up from Sunnyside High School and started covering high school sports. And he started at the Arizona Daily Star where I started, you know, covering high school sports. And he's made a long time career out of this. And he's, you know, he's been a treasure in Tucson for a long time. You know, he's a teacher back in the Sunnyside School District where he grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to see Hav doing so well.
He might have to do a good guy story on himself.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody's going to have to do that.
Yeah, so real quick, as you grew up in that time, you grew up watching these guys, the Flemings, the Herm Harrises, Coneil Normans. I've asked Coneil about 20 times to come on the show, but he hasn't answered me. Bob Elliott, these guys, what a fantastic, fun team to watch.
They were fun, and they were exciting. They were fresh. They were fresh for Tucson. And mm-hmm, it was a whole different thing.
McHale is just 2 or 3 years old.
No, they opened McHale.
Oh, it's 73-ish.
I think early on in Snowden's first year, I believe.
Yes.
Early games played at McHale, and then McHale opened during the season.
Were these guys here already?
They were here already.
Oh, is this the first class?
Yeah,
they were here already. They were the later class.
No, they were here already because Eric Money and Coneil Norman were in the first class.
Okay.
As I believe Al Fleming was too.
Okay.
And my memory may be wrong on this, but I believe the arena opened during the season.
Oh, you did, midway.
Yeah, midway through the season. I never went to a game at Bear Down, and I went to some games at Bear Down when my kid was playing in club games over there, and I just tried to imagine a college basketball game being played in there. But you know, the first time I went to an Arizona basketball game, it was at
McHale.
Mm-hmm. And I can remember it.
What are you looking at? 74-ish?
I would have been in early high school because I went with my brother Ed. He took me to the game. We went and we scalped some tickets, and they weren't expensive, and we saw them play BYU. Mm-hmm. And that much I can remember, and I was hooked. Mm-hmm. I started going to games as often as I could. I'm serious. My friends and I, we lived on the Broadway bus line, bus number 8. We lived over off of Pantano and Broadway. Would hop on the bus, would take it to Campbell and Broadway, get off, eat something at the Jack in the Box that used to be on the corner there, and then walk up to McHale and go to the games. And you know, eventually we started driving, but I remember a game that we just decided to go, and my friend and I walked up to the ticket office. It was right before the game was going to start. We got 2 front row seats right behind the bench. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that was the coolest thing. And Arizona was playing UTEP that day.
Right, back in the WAC, the good old WAC days.
The good old WAC. But, you know, those games were fun. And McHale was, again, when I say fresh, McHale was brand new.
Yeah.
So that was cool. You walked into that arena and you went, whoa. You know, mm-hmm. this was really cool. It was big time.
Right, right. And they were. I mean, eventually they ended up playing Vegas, a good Vegas team, UCLA, a very good UCLA team in the tournament.
Right. So disappointed that, I think it was 75 or 76.
Yeah.
They got to the Elite Eight against UCLA when UCLA was still UCLA, and you just knew that they were going to have a tough time.
But they played them at UCLA.
Not only did they have to play UCLA, the game was at UCLA.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, you think about guys that came through there that, you know, a guy like Russell Brown, who was the point guard.
Right.
Who is totally overlooked.
The quintessential point
as
guard.
As one of the great point guards in Arizona history. You know, and he was. I mean, he still holds, I think, the single game record with 18 assists or something like mm-hmm. that. You know, probably 2 years ago, I think I was sitting at a women's volleyball match at McHale, and there were three guys sitting behind me, and they were debating who was the best point guard in Arizona history.
Right.
Well, they didn't go past Steve Kerr.
How old were they?
Well, they were college age.
Oh, okay.
So they're probably early 20s, maybe. They couldn't get past Steve Kerr. I couldn't help myself. And I turned around and I said, guys, you need to get on your phones and look up Russell Brown.
Yeah.
You know, and they were, you know, and we chatted about it a little bit. I said, look, Russell Brown was that guy that he made all the other players so much better.
He at least deserves to be in the conversation.
Right. You know, all those guys were better because of him. You know, Larry Demick, you know, I don't know if Larry Demick played with Russell Brown, but, you know, all those, you know, Russell Brown just completely overlooked mm-hmm. as one of the, to me, one of the top 2 or 3 point guards that Arizona's ever had. And for a place that they call Point Guard U.
And that's saying a lot.
I think that's saying a lot. But,
yeah.
You know, unfortunately, too much of our discussion of Arizona basketball, it doesn't get past Lute.
It does, yeah. It starts there. Well, you know, in fact, I had Joe Nels on the show, I don't know, more than a year ago, probably now, and I don't disagree with him. I think that a lot of the things back before Lute don't get talked about enough, and even now, a players program doesn't recognize these guys enough.
Yeah. For instance, there was a Pete Williams before Pete Williams, and that was a guy named Larry Demick.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
You know, he was kind of an undersized center, but he was a grinder. He was a blue collar guy, and he just did the work. He ended up getting drafted. I think he played for the Knicks for a little while.
Yeah, a couple of years.
But you know, Larry Demick is a guy that, again, nobody ever talks about the guy. Mm-hmm. All that team did. Joe Nels was on the team. They beat a fourth ranked UCLA team here when I was in college. I think it was Arizona's first year in the league. So it would have been in 1979 or the 78-79 season. Mm-hmm. And I stormed the court.
Was that the spaghetti game or was that later?
That was, no. The spaghetti game was 2 days later.
They beat both of them.
Right. They beat UCLA and USC on a Saturday and a Monday. Mm-hmm. The USC game was Monday.
That never happened.
And that's the only time I ever stormed the court. I was in college, and that was when you had to get there at 4 o'clock to get one of the student bleacher seats around the court. Mm-hmm. And we did, because it was UCLA. They won the game. I ran on the court and I hit Joe Nels in the back, and I, jumped on Larry Demick and knew it was the coolest thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're the reason why they suspended that thing.
Exactly.
Or fined it.
I didn't jump over a press table to get there, okay? I just kind of, was able to run on the court.
I've been part of that, where you have to save your computer.
Oh, I have, as a stat guy.
That's true.
The court storming that took place when they beat number one Stanford.
Here.
And there were guys just coming over the top of me.
That's the first time it's happened here, well, in my 30-some years.
Yeah, well, probably since the time we stormed it.
Probably.
That game.
Probably. And the scariest place for me when that happened was Stanford. You remember how the thing used to bounce and bust Stanford? Lute and Montgomery would go at it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. No. Went to a couple of those that 88 year. The only conference game Arizona lost was at Stanford, and there was a court storming. Now, fortunately, the press area there was halfway up the bleachers.
Yeah.
So we weren't in the way of the storming. So
remember that.
I just saw it happen.
And then New Mexico?
Well, same thing. The press row was backed up behind the benches, and you were kind of in the
up,
seats.
You were up, yeah.
So people weren't jumping over you to get there.
Right, right, right,
right,
right, right.
But there's a lot of history with Arizona basketball, and Ernie McRae is part of that, and there's a lot of other guys. Mo Udall, who was a congressman, he's a part of that.
Fred Ink Jr.,
Warren Rustand, who came mm-hmm. through and was mm-hmm. a great NCAA player, and those kinds of guys. And, we're old guys here talking about those guys. Now, those guys, I didn't see them play. Okay, let's get that straight right now.
That was 47.
Okay, let's get that straight right now. My earliest memory of actually being at games is in the Coneil Norman Eric Money years.
Yes, and those were good. Fun to watch.
Those were so fun.
And this will be my editorial comment today. I give Sean a lot of grief, and he gives it back to me every now and again because of his teams need to run. I think in order to win a national title, you have to have a team that runs.
I think you do. I think you do, but
especially when you have the horses to do it.
When you have the guys to do it. So I don't know, but it was those games, man. I remember that UNLV game you mentioned real quick. That was historic for us.
Yeah, sure. Tark was there, right?
Yeah, we're all in high school watching those games. So
yeah, mystical times.
Or college, I should say.
You gotta get some of those guys back here. I'm hoping to get Coney. I pester him too much.
I'd love to have one of those guys, or even Russell Brown or Larry Demick.
We can find these guys.
Find out where these guys are.
Good show today, Jay.
This was fun. Thank you, Hav Morales, for being with us and doing the work you do in the community with youth sports.
We'll try to do this better tomorrow.
All righty.
Okay.
Talk to you tomorrow.
See you, everybody.